Hillspedia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances.
610 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia on this chilly Friday morning. We got two working days ahead till Monday. Coming up very quickly, a lot to get to on this Friday morning. Dan, it was kind of the same day. Cold, yeah. but dry, no wind.
Exactly right. We actually set a record low at Trenton yesterday.
Really?
We got down to 27 degrees.
No kidding.
Which had never happened on the 2nd of November. We're, okay, like 2 or 3 degrees warmer this morning, but that doesn't make much of a difference.
It wasn't bad. Car was covered in frost. I took Jody's car this morning, which was in the garage.
Nice. Okay.
I don't feel like dealing with that right now. What are you thinking for the weekend?
I think it's going to be a nice weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a Novemberish weekend rather than Decemberish like yesterday.
Right.
I think it's going to be mainly dry. We might break our streak.
Wow. What are we on? Eight in a row
of measurable rain. I think we break it this weekend. There is a chance of like a sprinkle or shower at some point, but it's not going to be anything widespread. I don't think it's going to ruin anybody's plans.
Anything on the horizon in the Northeast this weekend? We're traveling. We've got a funeral, had a death in the family. We're heading up to Cape Cod right after the show.
Sorry to hear
that. What do you think? Thank you.
I don't think so. There might be a couple of showers there, especially like early Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the geography in my head.
I'm coming back actually Saturday night. We had a full day of Sunday before the election.
The unfortunate part about it is, you know, we're tracking fall foliage this time of year too, and we are past peak now across most of New Jersey and especially New England. If you've waited this long to go leaf peeping,
you will not see
anything. Probably too late.
Brown.
South Jersey, you still have a chance.
There's still
plenty. Plenty of color there, but we're definitely approaching that time of year where the leaves are brown and they're ready to fall.
Yeah. So, but shouldn't be wet anywhere.
I don't think it's going to be like soaking wet, like a washout anywhere in the Northeast.
What about next week? Now, Tuesday's election day. Still a lot of people will vote in person.
And Tuesday marks a transition in our weather world. You know, we've got a nice warm-up between now and then. We're going to be back in the 60s. But then, starting Tuesday, we have to add some shower chances back in. We're
going
to start to cool down again. I don't see any snow in the forecast. It's just going to be a bit of rain and, you know, temperatures flip-flopping a little bit, mainly through the second half. It's mainly after Election Day, second half of next week.
So, like, May through September, I'm always asking about the weekend on Monday. But once we hit Thanksgiving period, all I care about is the snow.
Listen, if I can expect and predict what you're going to ask, that makes my job easier.
That'd be great.
I can be prepared for you, Bill.
I love it. All right. So, Eric, apparently it's daylight savings. I thought we were done with this stuff.
I did, too. Didn't we just go through all of this argument?
I thought there was a whole debate and something passed the Senate and everyone celebrated. And I'm like, it's finally done. Apparently not.
Maybe it's next year.
I
have to look
it up
again.
So, Tuesday's election day. You vote by mail, though, right? Or do you vote in person?
No, I vote in person.
No kidding.
Yeah, always have.
You're going to show up on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a thing. So, you know, Sandra and I do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because he's in the same district. So Alex will come with us. We will all and we'll vote together. I think it's an important act. It's important to me to actually walk into a polling place to sign my name, to pull the lever or now push the button. But, you know, I prefer that.
Yeah, I mailed my ballot in the other day. I don't know. Maybe it's just easier because, maybe it's different because election day is so busy for me that, and I used to be, for you, you're up at 2:30.
Yeah.
But you'll come back from the show. And you guys will go around lunchtime.
So if Sandra is working from home on Tuesday, we'll go around lunchtime. I don't know because of Alex's school schedule. He may have to vote before he gets on the train.
Right.
So fine. But then Sandra and I will either go at lunch or we'll go just before dinner.
So any predictions? I think we have to have our bet on the over-under on turnout. Now, the turnout in the general in 21, which I think is a better gauge, right? If we go 19, 21 to 23, my understanding was like 41, right? 41%, something like that. And if you go to 19, I got to believe it was much lower, 25, 26. And I think I won in 19 betting the under.
You did.
Right?
Yeah.
What was it? Do you know?
I think, did we set it at...
What do we want to set it at this year?
I think we set it at 18. Didn't we set it at 18?
Yeah, but I think it was still lower than that, right? Yeah, like 16.
Yeah.
It was something ridiculous. So here's my thought. I am willing to take the risk on this. I think we set it at, my thought is historically, we set it at 20.
Okay.
Unless you I don't know. I don't think if we're both going to bet the under, then maybe what we have to do is pick a number. Because I want to be fair about it. But I think turnout is going to be north. I'll say this. If you set it at 18, I will bet the over. I think turnout's going to be higher.
All right. I agree with that. So I agree with that logic. So let's do it. Let's set it at 18. And I am going to take the under on it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to take the under because I don't think there's enough school board elections, local elections that are going to drive the overall turnout. This is statewide. Now, I do think you're going to see some districts, might be District 3, where you're going to have beyond 20% turnout.
Yeah.
I think there's some districts where you could see 22% turnout.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be enough to lift the entire statewide average above that 18.
All right. So side bet.
Yep.
All right. Let's take the side action on this. I predict there will be at least three counties where the turnout's north of 25%.
Counties or districts?
I think county.
County. So you're going to look at county by county.
Okay. I think we do county by county because I think the turnout in Sussex, Ocean, and Gloucester may actually be north of 25%.
Interesting.
That's my prediction. I think I should write all this down.
You should. Hopefully Kristen's listening.
No, she's not.
She's not. Okay. Well, we'll have to go back. You know, your show is on demand now, so we'll have to go back to the on-demand.
We can actually go
back to the tape and play it back after Election Day. I would agree with two of those counties. I certainly think Gloucester. I think we may see... I may go so far as to say I think Gloucester County is going to have, by percentage, the highest turnout in the state.
I would agree with that.
And it between Gloucester and Ocean.
All right. I'm going to write some of this down.
Okay.
And then, yes, we can always go to the tape to trust but verify. But I think we're heading into a higher turnout election. My question to you is, are you voting on Tuesday or have you already voted? And do you think your vote is going to mean actual change in the Garden State? 1-800-283-101.5. 617. Fast traffic instant weather next. 621 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you at 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. I want to thank Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. Hey, a reminder, too, New Jersey 101.5 is hitting the streets. Kick off your holiday season with a run that has a free Duck Donut at the finish line. The Duck Donut 5K is this Sunday at Duke Island Park in Bridgewater. Race starts at 10 a.m. Same-day registration is available. Look for the New Jersey 101.5 big yellow van. All right, 622. So we have an election coming up on Tuesday, and I wonder... You know, I've made my predictions. I think the turnout's going to be very high in certain areas. We've got some hotly contested races in the 3rd District, certainly with my friend Ed the Trucker, Senator Ed Durr, fighting for re-election. Let me tell you guys, if you're in that district, if Ed Durr is your senator, you owe it to the future of this state to make sure that Ed Durr returns to the Senate. Because the folks behind trying to take him out, some are in his own party. As you notice, some of the candidates in the 4th District, the Republicans in the 4th District, went after Ed Durr. And because they're willing to save themselves at the expense of another Republican. Bob Hugin doing the exact same thing, the chairman of the Republican Party. And a lot of that will come out after the election. But what I can tell you is he's behind a lot of really nefarious stuff going on in the back room, and it's going to cost a lot of Republicans their seats. And it's because too many people in both parties care more about their own power and their own position and their own cash flow than they care about actually fixing New Jersey. You know, I spend a lot of time on the road, as you know, and I spoke last night in Barnegat, and what a great turnout in Barnegat. What a great town. Wow. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, you had a couple hundred people turning out for a pre-election rally. And the energy, I mean, the crowd was raucous last night. And I was with my good friend George Gilmore, who is the chairman of the Ocean County Republicans, and many others who were there just showing their support for this massive movement at the local level. And the highlight of the night, the school board and the council races. I mean, huge stuff. So I say this to you because there is a movement that has been launched in this state, and there's no putting the genie back in the bottle. You know, there's a reason why my audience here, not only are you a part of the largest audience, media audience in the state, but we have the highest number of women compared to almost any talk show format around the country. And when I looked at the numbers with our, just as it translated into our organizations, the Common Sense Club, again, female dominated, 7 out of 10 of our donors are women. And the reason for that is that the moms around the state have had just about enough of the old boys network in the back room. You know, that you've got weak Republicans that have allowed radicalized Democrats to go after your children in school, allowed for New Jersey to become a sanctuary state where we have who knows how many hundreds of thousands of illegals and many criminal aliens walking among us. We've allowed the revolving door of bail reform, allowed massive debt and spending, a budget that now tops $54 billion. Millionaires being minted at Rutgers University on the backs of some of the highest in-state tuitions and costs for students around the country. We've got an enormous problem. You know, you've got the governor's wife that got a $10,000 access door to her new office with her full staff. No reason for that. I don't remember voting for her. To be fair, I didn't vote for him either. But the idea that we've got a government that is so detached from people. I mean, you've got a governor now and his wife that took in $6 billion from the federal government in COVID relief and still stuck a $1 billion tab to small business to pay for the unemployment insurance repayments. $1 billion. You got a $1 billion subsidy going to NJ Transit, a $1 billion subsidy going to Rutgers. I mean, you got this out of control spending where, and how many billions are being spent on the NJEA? There's a reason why the NJEA can spend millions and millions of dollars propping up radical school board candidates. And there's a reason why New Jersey has some of now the worst repercussions from COVID when you look at the setback for children. A couple of years, experts are saying, in their education. Then you got the isolation issues, the mental health issues, the rise in fentanyl and drug overdose deaths. All of this stuff is happening. Why? Because your government is completely detached from real people. So I talk about this for the reason that I need you to get out and vote on Tuesday. I need you to get out and vote on Tuesday. I want you to vote for the school board candidates that are standing up for parental rights. You know that in all the articles we link to the candidates that I've endorsed, I've got about almost 100 candidates now that we're working with. So the information is there. We're out of excuses. You got to get there and vote. We need to vote for some of these great local candidates. Guys like Ed Durr, guys like Jay Weber, need your vote. We need to keep them in the legislature. And then we need to add many more. Greg Meyer, one of them. Carmen Amato, another one. You know, we've got to get to a point where the politicians again are afraid of the voters. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. My question is, are you going to vote on Tuesday? And do you think New Jersey, are you as optimistic as I am that we can actually turn around and save this state? 627, Eric Scott with the news next. 638 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. This is Friday, the last work day before the clocks change again. Eric, I don't know. I found it. It turns out that the Senate did pass a change in the law.
Yes.
That would hold us at the advance forward. So we'd be held. They modeled it after the Sunshine Law that passed in Florida, which says, okay, you'd spring ahead and then hold. But here we are. I thought that happened last year, but apparently the president didn't sign it, or it didn't go all the way through the House. I don't know how something like that stalled.
Yeah, I don't think the House passed it.
Maybe that's it. Did they even vote on it?
I don't know that it even got a hearing.
Right, because I don't recall hearing that it got shot down.
Right.
So now, as much as everyone celebrates the fallback, which is great, okay, that's nice, I would trade that fallback to stop moving the damn clocks every day of the... I hate it. Am I the only one? Do you not mind it?
I don't like it. But the time that we get up... It really does it really matter?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because it's dark when we come to work anyway.
Doesn't matter. Right.
Although it is nice to have a little extra sunlight at night. But again, I sleep better if I'm going to bed at 8, 9 o'clock at night.
When it's dark.
Yeah, when it's dark.
Well, this was actually my argument a couple years ago. I said I would be okay with holding on standard time. Like, drop it back, but then people say, well, it won't be light at 8:30 on a summer night. I'm like, well, guess what? I go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning on summer days anyway. So, to your point, it's not great when it's light that late. That is not my favorite thing about the change. So, the argument they always make is that it's too dark at the bus stop. But if you think about it, it's dark at the bus stop for some kids now anyway.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, the schools have started earlier and earlier and earlier because of the different bus routes they have to have now. So I don't know how much of an argument that still is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's aggravating me. Here's why, the real reason, because we still have clocks in our house. And now I have to take them off the wall and move them back. That's my real bitch session here about this. I'm just aggravated.
Do I have any clocks?
Do you have any clocks? But you have Siri or Alexa or whatever the hell you have. Like, your house is automated. Mine is old-fashioned.
Yeah, I have to change. What do I have to change?
I have to change my watches. I have watches. Like, I still wear a watch.
Yeah, I have the
Apple Watch.
I have the Apple Watch.
So this doesn't even affect you. I shouldn't be talking to you about this.
No, but I still don't like it. I mean, it's just, I think even the clock in my car changes automatically. I think the microwave is the only clock that I have to manually change.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Because all my other appliances are Wi-Fi. They're connected to the smart home.
You know, I think our stove changes automatically now.
When I got the Viking stove, it doesn't even have a clock on it. It's just this big behemoth of a stove. it's like having a restaurant stove.
Do you have gas? Is the oven gas?
The oven is both gas and electric. So if I want to do a convect bake,
that's nice.
Or a convect roast, I have the electric. If I want to do a conventional roast, and I will usually do the gas if I'm doing something on a slow cooker. If I'm at like 225 or so.
Right.
But the big gas burners, you know, I mean, on the top of this Viking.
Can you imagine if they actually banned that? Not having the, I mean, I we're so used to cooking on gas. I can't imagine going back to it. I mean, when I was a kid, we had the, and a lot of people still have them, the rings, right? The coils that got hot.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of.
So inefficient.
Inefficient. I am open to the idea of induction cooking.
Yeah.
Because I think the induction technology has come along far enough.
And the heat can be even. The heat can be evenly,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's, and
you
I
control
can
the
use,
temperature better.
And I can use all of my cast iron on it.
Right.
So, you know, that's important.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
And when they used to allow, you know, us to cook on Fridays here, I had an induction top.
Yeah.
And most of my pro cookware all has the induction pad on the bottom. So that I could bring that, you know, along, or if I'm going to cook something at somebody's house, I can bring that induction burner along, and I can use my pots.
We now have, we've got probably almost, I think I have 4 now cast irons. Like, we use that more than anything.
I
use it for everything now.
Yeah, I truly
do. You have the big
prefer.
One, I've got the big 17-inch one, which is fantastic.
Yes, I have that, and the thing that I like most about it is I can put it right on my grill.
Yeah, Jody does, she'll do a deep dish pizza. She does that honey crust pizza in the cast iron.
Yep.
And that can go on the grill.
But I've got the little, you know, the little 8-inch, you know, I've got the 10-inch. I have a bunch of Dutch ovens
Yeah,
it's just
too.
It's yeah.
That's how she bakes the sourdough in the Dutch oven.
Yep, in a Dutch oven. And they're so seasoned. I have some new ones, but some of my pans, and they have, you know, I've dropped them or I've knocked them or something and broken them over the years. But some of them were actually my great grandmother's. I have a couple of pots, cast iron pans that are still from that era.
There's that guy Kyle from Trenton, Cast Iron Kyle on Instagram. And he refurbishes them. So I've got a few that I'm going to take to him. He goes to the Columbus Farmers Market every month. And take it in. He'll get them fixed up for you. I tell people that. I'm like, don't think that they're dirty. That rust, that can all be cleaned. It is the best cooking surface you can have.
I found a cast iron pan under my shed. I don't even know where it came from. It wasn't mine, but it was. I was digging around something short, and I hit something with a shovel, and I'm like, "What the hell is this?" I picked it up and I dug it out, and it was a 10-inch cast iron pan, and it was rusted and dirty and covered in mud, and I took it in. And I completely rehabbed it, and I'm still using it. Dated it. I have no idea how old, but I mean, it had been laying underneath, you know, the shed in the mud and the muck for however long.
Yeah.
And I use it all the time.
God, I wonder if you can date them. I bet you can. I bet you can figure it out.
There's usually, your cast iron Carl probably know, but they're usually on the handle or underneath, there's some kind of a mark.
Right.
So, you know, we were able to date, like, the ones from my great-grandmother because there's a stamped mark.
That's
on the
cool.
bottom of the pan and almost like the V of the handle. Too.
Yeah.
So that's and that's how
that's interesting.
Yeah, they're old.
6:45. Question for you: Does this whole fallback that's coming on Sunday or no Saturday night? Right. So Saturday night into Sunday, you gain an hour. Are you or your job affected by it? And are you as aggravated as I am? Even though you gain an hour, do you see this as a huge problem? How has the Congress not taken this up? It is so aggravating and antiquated. It makes me nuts. Are you impacted by the time change? Or do you think I'm just complaining about nothing? 1-800-283-101.5. And would you prefer to stay at the time we're at now from the spring ahead or stay at the fall behind? 1-800-283-101.5, 646. Fast traffic, instant weather next. 6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning, which will be 9 o'clock come Monday. I hate the time change. It makes me so aggravated. Even though you gain an hour, whatever, I get it. We're only going to go back to complaining in the spring that we have to spring forward and lose an hour. It is so antiquated. This goes back to the conservation of whale oil. I mean, we are at least 100 years past needing to change the clocks. How do you feel about it? Let's start with Savario on Route 78. What's going on, Savario?
Hey, I personally, I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
I work as an EMT and a fireman. So, you know, it's nice if I'm working that weekend, this coming weekend.
Yeah.
Get extra hour. But,
so, Savario, how long have you been a firefighter?
Since 2016.
No kidding. You've been doing it for a while. Wow. So how's your shift? Do you do 4 days on, 4 days off? Like, how do you do it?
I work as a per diem firefighter right now, not full time.
Got it. Okay.
So
got it.
I need to, I like the hour.
So are you working this weekend?
I happen not to be, but if I was, I would. The people that I work with who are, they get that extra hour.
Yeah.
They like it.
All right. I get it. But are they equally, though, as happy as they may be about this weekend, are they aggravated in the spring when you lose the hour?
Yeah, they don't love the spring.
Right. Exactly. I can't imagine the things that you've seen as an EMT.
Yeah. It's all the same.
Yeah.
As a fireman, we do go to the schools and do fire prevention for the kids.
Yeah.
So it's nice to remind them to change the batteries in their smoke detectors, you know, on the 6 months when we do the time change. Although,
right.
To be fair, they have the 10-year batteries anyway now, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. Things have definitely changed, right? All right, man. Well, look, be safe. Best to the guys. I appreciate what you do every day, and I'll put you in the you'll be in that third category. Take it or leave it, right?
Yeah. that's fine.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks, Mario. All right, Perry, Lori, Tom, I'll be right back. 6:55, Eric Scott with your news next. Seven 11 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talk to Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. All right, so Eric, I was talking about this earlier. The Senate did pass this bill in March of 2022, and it was supposed to stop. We were not supposed to fall back on Saturday night into Sunday.
Right.
I mean, what the hell happened? That's it. This is the last article I found was March 14th. It's a Reuters article. March 15th, 2022. That's it. And then crickets. What the hell happened?
I think there are 19 states that have tried to do this.
And they've passed it. Yeah. So this was sponsored by Marco Rubio from Florida after Florida passed the Sunshine Act.
Yep.
Which said we're going to, because a lot of folks wanted to, you can always opt out as a state from daylight savings and stay with standard time.
Yes.
But you need an act of Congress to essentially make daylight savings time standard time. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And most states didn't want to stick with standard time because they're like, well, you know, that means we don't get the extra hour of light in the summer. That was the issue.
I
suggested this. I wanted to see Trump, when he was president, change, because the president can do this, change the time. George Bush did it. That's why it's in November now, not October.
Oh,
George,
right.
George W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
You make it the same day? Then the clock doesn't change.
Make it the same day.
Yeah. Right?
Right. You could.
There's got to be a workaround. Anyway, I'm going to be aggravated for at least another week. I'm just letting everybody know. Although I will be better rested, theoretically, on Monday.
No, because you're changing, and I always think that, too. And it's, and you know what, when we started talking about this morning, you know what I was irritated about? Is that we have brunch reservations at 10:30 on Sunday. And we made them at the time thinking, oh, well, you know, it's, Sandra will get a chance to sleep in. I'll be up early anyway, but it'll be late enough. We won't have to rush. We'll be able to, you know, get there.
Now it's 9:30.
Now it's, right.
That's a great point. Yeah. See? All right. You're coming with me on this. You're going to be a little aggravated, too, by Monday morning. All right. Let's go to Perry on the Turnpike. What's going on, Perry? Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Actually, it's going great. I'm just slightly aggravated by this whole time change thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be boiling mad for about a month, man. It pisses me off every year. It's just ridiculous. We still do this, you know? I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. It screws me up. It really does.
What job do you do? What do you do?
I'm an air conditioning tech, so I'm running around fixing people's AC. So when it's pitch black at 6 o'clock and I'm out there trying to fix someone's unit, it's really, you know, it's really tough on me.
Yeah. Now, see, if we bumped it forward and we stuck to the daylight savings time, technically it would be getting dark probably at 5:30, but not at 4:30.
Right. Right. Well, it's better they leave it the way it is now. Plus, it's better for restaurants that have outside seating. You know, if you're outside, it's not pitch black. You know, you can run around a little bit more.
Yeah,
if I
agree.
Remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know, if I remember correctly, the House passed it, and it's sitting in the Senate. The Senate didn't pass it. It's a problem.
No, it's the opposite. It's sitting in the House.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So this was back in March of 2022. The Senate passed the legislation called the Sunshine Protection Act. They passed it unanimously. Every senator unanimously. House has done nothing. So
that's ridiculous.
I'm going to talk to some of our friends in Congress, particularly Jeff Van Drew and Chris Smith, and ask them if they can bring this up on behalf of all the aggravated residents who are sick and tired of having to change the clocks. Perry, thanks, man. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you bet. Take care. Enjoy the weekend. Lori, Tom, I'll get to you guys first on the other side. Traffic weather next, 7:15. 722 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So I stopped by Doyle's Poorhouse yesterday in Barnegat before my speech to the Barnegat Republican rally, which, by the way, was awesome. And the group, just fantastic. You know, Marty and, of course, George Gilmore. And we had all our great candidates were there. Al and Joseph running for local township committee and three powerful ladies running for Board of Education. And then, the of course, Carmen Amato was there, the mayor of Berkeley Township, who is now, he is going to be the new senator. And Brian Rumpf was there, and who is an assemblyman, another good guy that deserves re-election. And, Greg Meyer, who's the mayor in Stafford Township, who's going to be a member of the assembly. I stopped by Doyle's to meet with our staff, and we had a quick meeting before the event, I got recognized by this couple that was at the bar, and they're like, you know, it was very funny, the woman Shelby and her husband, I believe his name was Rob or John, and sorry guys, I don't remember, but I remember Shelby, and she's like, hey, you know, you look a lot like Bill Spadia, and I'm like, that's funny, I get that all the time, and and then it took a minute or so, and they're like, wait a minute, you also sound like him. I'm like, right, because I am him. And it was just a funny moment. But here's why I bring it up. I bring it up because they're moving to Montana. So Shelby and her husband are moving to Montana in 8 months. And I said, guys, you got to stick around. We're going to fix it. But there are still too many New Jerseyans who already have their tickets bought to get out of here. So my question to you is, what are you going to do to help me save this state? Because as I've said repeatedly, this year is all about electing new members of the assembly and hopefully a few key new members to the state senate. And it's about electing school boards, town council, and mayors, and commissioners, and sheriffs. And then next year, while you're all distracted by the presidential election, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be focused on school board, commissioners, mayors, and town council. And then in 2025, we are going to elect a new governor. And if the Republicans are smart, which, again, you know, depends on who they are, if they've been in office too long, or if they are in any way an ally of that clown Bob Hugin who runs the New Jersey Republican Party, then I don't know what's going to happen. But if they're smart and we get the majority, they will not reduce the power of the governor. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. If you reduce the power of the governor before Murphy's term ends, we will never get this state back. Let me be very clear. The only way out is to elect hundreds of new qualified, strong leaders at the local level, and then a strong, courageous governor who's going to implement common sense policies in January 2026 using the power that Murphy used to wreck our constitutional liberties and to run roughshod over our medical freedom, religious freedom, parental rights. If you strip the power of the governor to score political points, you will not be able to elect a governor who will do enough to turn the state around in January 2026 when the new guy takes the office. Am I being clear enough for you? I'm trying to be. Read between all those lines, guys. We're going to elect a Republican governor in 2025 who will take office in 2026. If you strip the office of the power that it now has, you're never going to undo what Murphy has done. And he's done what will be irreparable harm to this state, our culture, our climate. And when I met Shelby and her husband yesterday and they're moving to Montana and no words of mine, we're going to pull them back. I thought, how many hundreds of thousands of families just like that are saying the same thing? So we need to focus on voting Tuesday, elect strong leaders at the local level, and then make sure we start implementing and fighting the governor at every step on policy. But don't undo because the Democrats will vote with you to limit the power because they also know the Republicans are going to win in 25. Got to be smart about this. All right, Pat, Tom, hang in there. Your call's coming up. As I promised, if I missed you as a candidate yesterday, now's your time to call in. 1-800-283-101.5. 728, Eric Scott with the news next. . 7:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Hey, real quick, I just want to thank my my friend Tommy Farrell and congratulate him. As you know, he last year became the new coach of Manchester football team, Manchester High School football, and this year, they beat Pinelands last night, 34-21, to end with the best record in Manchester school history, 8-3. So, congratulations to all the players at Manchester High School, especially the seniors, to end your senior season with the best record in school history. Very cool. And let me tell you something: leadership matters. Leadership matters. And Tommy Farrell is a guy that understands that you got to have some tough love with these young guys so that you can help facilitate them turning into strong, tough men. All right. Now, speaking of leadership, got an election on Tuesday, and the only way we're going to see our way out of this mess is if we start electing Republicans who are courageous enough to take on the Democrats and actually stand up and speak for the people. So as I promised, I would use some time this morning to pick up some of the pieces. We left a lot of candidates on hold yesterday. I know there's only so much time in the day, but let's get right into it. If you're a candidate, I'm going to give you the next hour to call in and tell the folks why you're running and what you're running for. 1-800-283-101.5. Let's start with Senate candidate Pat Johnson, who is running in the 14th Legislative District, largely Mercer County, parts of Middlesex County, including Monroe. And this is a much more competitive race than certainly the Democrats wanted this year. Pat, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for doing this for us. We need to get in front of the people. They cannot keep doing the same old, and expect something different. It's insane.
You know, you're right. And now you are a former nurse. You have been through the mill in this state, and what would you say is the number one thing you're hearing from people that they want to see accomplished in Trenton?
You know, Bill, people are just telling me, and I'm knocking doors every day.
I know you are.
And I have been, and they keep telling me. They're just tired of everything. They're tired of being told what they have to do. They're tired of lies, the lies many people have heard about Stay NJ, and they realize it can't be done.
Yeah.
So if they're not going to be transparent and honest, it's time to get a change. It really is.
I agree with you, and I know you're going to continue to knock on doors. What is the feedback you're getting? I know that we know it's going to be close in the third. We know it's going to be close in the fourth. It's going to be close in the 16th in Somerset and parts of Mercer. What are you hearing in your race? Because you're running against Linda Greenstein, who I told you many, many years ago, I debated her, and I'll never forget it. She came in with a stack of papers that was like 8 inches thick, and it was just ridiculous. And you just knew she had no connection with real people.
She doesn't get out with the people. I've heard that when I go to doors.
Yeah.
And I'm going to independents and soft Dems and Republicans.
Good.
And they said that they haven't seen her. They wouldn't know what she looked like. They've never talked to her. If they try to call her, she doesn't answer the phone.
Yep.
People are tired of it. They want somebody that's going to connect, and she doesn't connect. She votes with radical Phil Murphy on all of her issues, and it's time that somebody gets in and listens to the people and what they need.
Yeah. I mean, Linda Greenstein supports the sexualization of kids in school. She supports 5756, which takes away parental rights and forces schools to essentially lie to parents. Anybody that doesn't support parental rights should not be representing any of us. This is an 81-19 issue. 81% of New Jersey supports the parents being informed. Linda Greenstein's on the wrong side. Pat Johnson, you are on the right side. I will see you on Sunday. We're walking and talking on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. You're one of six stops we have on Sunday, but I absolutely made the time to make sure that we'll be Jody and I will be on the ground with you to help get you over the top.
And Bill, I appreciate it. I really do. We need to get people out there. They can come and listen to us. I'd love you to give the address for the headquarters so that people know they can come and listen to people that really care.
So here's what I'll do, guys. It'll be posted on my events page, BillSpadia.com/events, and I'll ask producer Kristen to link that in today's article so you can see the address. I believe it's Couser Road in Hamilton, but I will make sure that is posted. So if you want to meet us for an open event, I believe I'll be there at 3 o'clock on Sunday. It's going to be great, and we're going to wrap up the weekend the right way and head on to victory Tuesday night. Pat, thank you. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
You take care. There's Pat Johnson. Look, this is a real person, and this is what I've been saying. Like, you need real people. She was a nurse. She runs a daycare. Like, she is a real person on the ground, understanding that it is time to stop the government lies. It's time to stop the majority Democrats from infringing on our medical freedom, our parental rights, our economic liberty, our religious liberty, all of it. All of it. And Linda Greenstein, as part of the backroom cabal, who does everything that she's told, has got to go. Got to go. It's like you've got some of these candidates out there, these state senators, who they don't even make their own decisions. Honestly, it's to me, that's even worse than being a radical, out-of-touch leftist. Is that you're a pawn of the power brokers because they line your campaign coffers and keep you in there as a puppet to rubber stamp their radical agenda. Well, guys, that radical agenda is no longer about budget items. The radical agenda is now taking away your rights as mom and dad. That's what senators like Linda Greenstein stand for. That's what challengers like John Bersicelli, who's running against Ed Durst, stand for. They stand for taking away your rights and driving a deeper wedge into your family, between you and your doctor, between you and your kids. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. You got to elect Pat Johnson. You got to reelect Ed Durr. We got to stop clowning around in this state. It's getting way too serious. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. If you are running for office, or if you want to promote a candidate that's running locally, or if you want to know who I'm recommending you vote for, 1-800-283-101.5, 745. Fast traffic instant weather next. /7:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Okay. Let's jump right back into it. Let's go to Harry in Bernardsville. What's going on, Harry? Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bill.
So how you doing? Good?
All right, pal. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what do you need? What can I do for you?
I want to know who you recommend in Bernardsville.
The borough of Bernardsville, not Bernards Township, right? Bernardsville.
Bernardsville.
So there are two Republicans running for borough council. One is named Christopher Otto, O-T-T-E-A-U, and Ross Zazzarino. Man, that's a great name. Ross Zazzarino. They're also, it's interesting because in Bernardsville, you've also got a couple of independents running. And I have always said, I am always recommending this year. Now, I know there are years where I've said, look, the Republicans have really dropped the ball, and it's a huge problem. But this year, under the leadership of Tim Howes, who is the Somerset County Republican chair, you've got great candidates running across the board. And thanks to his work over the past 4 years, there are now 71% of residents in Somerset County living with Republican leaders at the local level. So my advice is to keep it going. And if I were voting for two in Bernardsville, I'd be voting for Ross Zazzarino and Christopher Otto. And then and that's my advice. Now, the other thing is, too, in Bernardsville, you are in Legislative District 21, right? So John Bramnick's your senator. Now, you know, John is not a huge fan of mine. I'm not a huge fan of his.
Big fan of him either.
No, he's so liberal. I mean, he's pretty much a Democrat. But here's my thought about that. And you know, take this for what it's worth. I've recommended that people vote for him and vote up ballot Republican this year because of this. As much as Bramnick can be annoying as hell and he votes with the Democrats and he pushes a liberal agenda, the reality is when it comes to leadership and it comes to fiscal issues, he is going to vote with the Republicans in the Senate. If we get the majority, his brand of liberal Republican gets relegated to the minority of the majority. And then you can deal with him a lot better. The problem that I've had with Bramnick is he was the assembly leader and he was totally complicit with Murphy on the lockdowns. So it was hard to take him seriously, right? But yeah. If he is not in leadership and he's just a vote for Republicans, then I'd rather see him returned. So my advice is to do that. Now, the other thing is, too, you've got two commissioner candidates, the Board of Commissioners. This is a big deal because this is going to be a very close election. We have two incumbent Democrats as commissioners in Somerset County. The two challengers, Dan Gaelic and Don Lemma. I know these guys. They are good guys. They get it. And that could be the turnaround for Somerset County. You want to get taxes down. You want to get common sense government. We need to elect these two to commissioner. So that's my take on Bernardsville.
All right. So we're sticking the full V-line for Republicans.
That's my advice.
And Lemma. All right.
Lemma and Gaelic. And like I said, look, I'm way more conservative, obviously, than John Bramnick. But, you know, you kind of got to hold your nose this time because if we get the majority, great things can happen. And what's happening is, you know, we're supporting 93 candidates across the state. So there's going to be a lot of influence from the common sense side. This common sense conservative movement is taking shape to the point where Cittarelli's stealing my lines. He's using my lines in his ads for kids. It's very funny to me. And we're, you know, we're pouring a lot more effort into this. He's going to try to take credit for some wins, but, you know, he hasn't really done anything. You know what it is, Harry? These guys are all about posturing and positioning, and we're about results. So, you know, what I'm telling you, who I'd vote for, there's a good chance I've knocked on doors with them.
Done.
All right, man. Thanks, Harry.
All right, pal. Thanks.
Appreciate you. You take care. All right, everybody else hang in there. I'll be right back. 7:57. Eric Scott with the news next. Eight ten on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Let's jump right back into it. Questions about the election on Tuesday or your candidate, take either call. We'll start with Don in Burlington. What's going on, Don? How are you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What do you want to say?
Hey, I just moved here, and I'm living in Burlington County on the east side over by Burlington and Willingboro, and I don't have time to do all the research. I want to know who you're suggesting in this area.
So, all right, it will depend on where you are. If you, because here's what I do, Don. First of all, welcome to Jersey. Where'd you move from?
California.
No kidding. What brought you here?
Out of the fire and into the frying pan, something like that.
Yeah, right? What brought you here?
Family. Yeah, you know, mom's getting older, and I decided it's time to come home.
Good
I started
for you.
Out here 40 years ago.
Wow. What part of California were you in?
In Pasadena area for the last 4 years, and I was severely outnumbered there.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult to exist out there.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. I mean, Burlington.
Mouth shut. And
yeah, you know what, though? I mean, you know, Jersey is one of those places where you're in for a fight here either way, because the challenge in Jersey is that even where you get a Republican area, the Republicans like to beat the crap out of each other. So it really depends. So if you're in Burlington Township, the way I do it is I look for the candidates. Like I start at the Board of Education. So there's a candidate, Courtney Angeline, who is running under the slate of Children Come First. She's in ballot position 5, and anybody that would put that in their slogan gets it. So she ought to get a vote. Then if you go now, the chairman of the party in Burlington's a bit of a clown. He really doesn't know what he's doing. So the website's hard to navigate. But if you are in District 8, there's a good guy running for the state Senate, Latham Tiver. And if you're in District 7, the challenger is Jim Fazone. So I would give either of them a look.
And, you know, and let me be very honest. And the other thing is, too, I don't know, you may be in District 12. That's depends on what part of the county. My good friend Owen Henry is running for the state Senate. So if you if your ballot shows either Owen Henry, Jim Fazone, or Latham Tyver, when, did you get a sample ballot?
No, I don't know if I got one. I didn't see one in the mail yet. I'm kind of using two different addresses while I'm in a temporary house, so I'm not really sure.
So are you sure you're registered to vote?
Yeah, I checked the site. I'm registered to vote. And the thing is, I got to vote tonight because I'm on my way out of town for 4 days.
Yeah, so there's early voting. Do you know where to go for the early voting?
Yeah, it's in Willingboro. It looks like a residential district. Maybe they dropped a voting machine in somebody's garage or something. I don't know.
That's kind of how it works. So take a look at it. And my advice is, my advice this year is recognize one of those names, start at the top, vote all the way down. But pay attention to the school board. Now, I don't know who's on your school board ballot. Anybody with the slogan, kids first, children first, parental rights, give them a vote. Because the school board elections matter this year.
All right. You got it, boss.
All right. Thanks, man. Good luck. Welcome. Welcome. Good to have people from California. Love that. All right. Jeff, Jerry, Tom, Sam, everybody. I'll be back. 8:14, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next. 8:21 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Dan, here's what I heard.
Okay.
Frosty Freeze. And I'm thinking Frosty that's freezing. Like a milkshake or like.
Sounds delicious, right?
Right? The Frosty Freeze. I'm like, oh, I want a chocolate Frosty Freeze. That's
it. It's hard on mornings like this because I can't just call it a freeze.
Right.
I can't just call it a frost because we've got a little bit of both. So,
yeah.
You know, people say that sometimes on the radio I sound like I'm talking to my children, but that's okay with me. So,
right.
Frosty Freezy morning. Here you go.
But I liked it because it made sense.
There you go.
Like, you've got the frost in the car. It's cold.
Exactly.
So anyway. But then I immediately went to food.
And it's going to be at least a week before we see another morning this cold.
Yeah.
Again, you know they're coming back almost daily once we get into winter. But the warm-up will be welcome here.
Warm-up? But by warm 50s? 60s, maybe?
Warmer, not really warm. Yeah,
okay,
50s,
right?
50s today, 60s this weekend.
Right. If it stays around 58 to 62, I'm thrilled.
That is right on the normal for early November. So that's what we like to see this time of year.
Yep. Favorite time of year. Yes, thanks,
sir.
Dan. All right, let's jump back into it. We got an election coming up on Tuesday. What are you running for? Do you have questions about candidates? I'm here to help. I'm going to go to Tom, who's on line 4 and has been on hold, I think, since Monday. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, Semper Fi, my brother.
Semper Fi, Tom. I think you've been on, you may have set a record. I think you were on hold from 7 o'clock yesterday. How you doing, Tom?
That is correct, sir.
All right, what do you want to say?
You're worth every second. And I tell you what, I'm going with line B over Monroe Township for the Republicans. We had a little event last night that we were looking at the Declaration of Independence. Anytime in the military, when we got in trouble, we went back to the basics. Read that thing. If we just follow a little direction, we're all going to go a long way. Okay? These Democrats were found out by Charlie DePiro, who's running for mayor. Some very important information. He's got proof that $2.5 million was given to the Democrats over here in Monroe in the county to get a little corruption going, pay to play. Okay? He's got proof. Go online and see it for yourself. If you want them to self-fund through developers and anybody else, feel free. We don't take $1 from anybody. That's a conflict of interest.
Tom, why are you not running? With all your energy.
Because I'm going to vote for people like you, for people like Charles DePiro. I gave my time in the Marine Corps.
There you
okay?
go.
I don't want any more public anything.
Tom, what?
I'm going to be behind the lines, reading
Tom,
and
what battalion were you? What battalion were you at Parris Island?
Parris Island, 1st Battalion.
1st Battalion, finally. Every time I ask that question, I get 3rd Battalion. I was 1st Battalion, too, 1017. And you had to look from the squad bay. You could see every graduation every Friday, right?
You learn something from that, okay?
Yeah, you do.
You want, military. You want to be an Air Force guy, go ahead. You want to be this, that, and the other, go ahead.
All right, so bottom line, Tom. Man, see, that's what happens. You stay on hold so long, it's all pent up. It's all got to come out. I got it. I got it, brother. Listen,
hey,
Charlie DePiro.
Everything you've done for the country and everything else you've done.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of the day. We'll see you on Election Day.
We love you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You take care. All right, let's go to Jerry Knapp. Jerry Napolitano running for Union County Sheriff. What's going on, Jerry? Morning.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, so am I correct in that you grew up with Shaquille O'Neal?
Yes, that's correct. Well, I didn't grow up with him. I grew up with, you know, he's a friend of mine. His partner was my his uncle, and we got to know each other very well.
How, and you're still in touch?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's so cool. I know he was going to call the show yesterday. He got tied up, but I'm hoping he'll call Monday or Tuesday. So,
yes, he is going to, hopefully.
Yeah, tell him the line is still open for him. I'd love to talk to Shaq. So, anyway, what's going on? Tell me about your race. Tell me what's at stake as you run for Union County Sheriff.
Well, as you know, I'm a Navy veteran. And I'm also a 33-year veteran of the police department. I want to bring back community policing to Union County and bring back the narcotic squad that they took away. I want to put these criminals away and keep them away. I want to make everybody safe in Union County, which is getting a little rough around the edges around here. You know that, Bill.
I know.
And our prosecutors, we've got to keep them. Got to keep them in jail. You know, we got to need,
community policing. Jerry, you and I have talked about this, that the statewide average, I was blown away by this stat, that only 18% of perps are held. That means 82% go through the revolving door of bail reform and are out the door from crime committed to paperwork processing, couple hours out back on the street. And oftentimes the trials are delayed, sometimes months, sometimes years. It's nuts.
Correct. It is nuts. We want to get them out there. We're going to keep them in jail. And I'm going to fight for the people of Union County.
That's I love
what it. I'm going to do, Bill.
Well, you're in the straight Republican column. What column are you in?
Column B.
Column B. Column B in 23. Right. Vote for Jerry Knapp, Gerardo Napolitano. All right, Jerry, listen, good luck. I will see you. It was great knocking on doors with you the other day. We will continue to support you and help you, whatever you need. You send me a note. I will hopefully see you on or around Election Day. Go win.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. That is Jerry Napolitano running for Union County Sheriff. Man, the sheriff's job is so important. My friend Bucky Buckinfuso is running in Mercer County. You know, we've got a lot of great sheriffs out there. Fred Brown, you know, Mike Strada. There are some good, good sheriffs that we are on solid ground, but we got to elect more of them. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. Mary, Sam, Craig, Anjin, Jeff, and Joe. I'll get to all of you. 827, Eric Scott with your news next.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday with Bill Spadia. Thanks to our sponsor, Jobs for Blue, the leading New Jersey provider of side job scheduling.
Imagine you're waiting for your train to head home and just minding your own business, and you're confronted with a guy on the platform wielding an axe coming at you. Yeah, that happened last week to a guy in Hoboken. Thankfully, three New Jersey Transit police officers heard the commotion, saw what was happening, acted immediately, without regard for their own safety, by the way. They got in between the axe man and the potential victims. And this week, our hashtag Blue Friday honorees, officers Brian Rea, Joseph Ragazzo, and Randy Vargas, all three New Jersey Transit cops. They were at the Hoboken Transit station, and they were in one of the waiting rooms, and they heard this chaos taking place, and they literally got in between the two. So think about that. A guy's coming at another guy with an axe. These three cops stand in between them, start yelling at the perp to put the axe down. He did not comply, and he's lucky to be alive, to be honest, because Officer Rea used pepper spray to disorient the guy, stop his forward motion. They got the axe away, tackled him down, got the cuffs on the perp, and he's hopefully going to face justice soon. But thanks to the quick thinking of New Jersey Transit police officers Brian Rea, Joseph Ragazzo, and Randy Vargas, we have a terrible and deadly and, quite honestly, gruesome tragedy avoided. So thank you, guys, and I want to thank all of the cops at New Jersey Transit. Thank you for what you do. Every Friday, as you know, as long as I have a microphone, our men and women in blue will have a voice. And I've said this always. You know, I've said this to every police organization, law enforcement. I'm speaking to a lot of PBA groups these days, a lot of 200 clubs. And I typically end with this, and I'll share it with you. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is a thin line between civilization and savagery. And that line is blue. Back the blue, stand up for our cops, end bail reform, institute a cost of living adjustment for our retired cops, enforce federal detainer orders, eliminate the local cap on cop salaries. We need to do right by our men and women in blue, and I will continue to advocate, fight, and eventually implement these policies that will show that New Jersey stands up for cops. So thank you, guys. Appreciate what you've done. New Jersey Transit Police Officers Brian Rea, Joseph Ragazzo, and Randy Vargas, our hashtag Blue Friday honorees for today. Okay. Full story at nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. Go read it. It's a good one. Let's jump right back in. So we got an election coming up on Tuesday. Are you running? Do you want to recommend someone who's running? Let's talk about it. We're going to start with Joe Buonavolonta. Did I get that right, Joe? In Cranberry.
Pretty good. You're almost close there, Bill.
All right. Tell me. How do you say it?
Buonavolonta.
Oh, come on. It was really good.
Hey, the county screwed up my name on the election ballot. First off, they spelled Joe wrong. You believe that?
You know what? That is hilarious. Of course they did. You got 19 letters in your last name. They spelled Joe wrong. I love it.
And then they had the nerve to tell me to have three people proofread it. I go, oh, my God. Fire them all.
So you're running for township committee in Cranberry. Are you the incumbent or your challenger?
I am the Republican challenger. So there was nobody running against our Democratic man that got there. And so I said, you know what? I got some of my buddies to sign me up, do some write-ins, got my name on the ballot.
I love it.
And I got some issues I'm going to bring some awareness to, you know. And
what's your big issue? Because, you know, Cranberry used to be a Republican town.
You lost. It's gone. It's all. It's a lot of independence, and you know what? It's a fair ball game there. I know what you're saying. It was a Republican town.
I'm just saying you had. You know, Wayne Whitman was the mayor. I mean, we had you know, Phyllis Ann Steen and a couple of other great Republican leaders at the local level. And yeah. I don't know. You know, over look, the Democrats did this methodically. They did it over 20 years. And Republicans were not paying attention at the local level. Still, you go to the Burlington County Republican website, you can't find a local candidate. They still don't understand how to promote local. I mean, you ask Bob Hugin, the chairman of the Republican Party, who's running locally, he'll look at you like you have three heads. He has no idea. But we're doing it. We're supporting almost 100 candidates now with our common sense efforts, with Elect Common Sense. And I wish I would have loved to come knocking on doors with you, but hey, at least you're getting the plug here. So,
well,
Joe,
knock on the doors though with all the crime, and sometimes you talk to people through a Ring camera. I'm noticing it's so nuts. It's like they don't want to come to the door, but I'll talk to the Ring camera. I'm fine with that, or through the window.
I have left hundreds of messages across the Garden State on people's Ring cameras as I walk by, and it's a mini commercial. I love it. You know, I love the Ring cameras. But Joe, what do you want to accomplish? Why should voters in Cranberry make the switch and vote for you?
Here's the reason, because I'm going to get rid of the three-minute speech at meetings. You're only allowed 3 minutes to talk at a township meeting. That is brutal. I'm not going to hide behind emails. I'm going to answer everybody's questions and everything. Right now, they hide behind emails or texts. They don't even get back to people. I want to help the seniors find a place to have a senior little, you know, committee there where they can have a little area, do all their stuff.
Love it.
Keep taxes stabilized. And I want to work on sidewalks, and we have a lot of truck traffic since we got the warehouses. So Liberty Way is a road that's supposed to be connected up. It's not connected. They sort of dropped the ball on it. And I want to bring that back into effect because we have a lot of our residents that, you know, they pack their dogs in their cars to go to the park. There's just too much truck traffic or speeders. The police are doing a great job. They recommended a lot of stuff for the town to do to slow people down, but the township is dragging their feet. They never put up signs and did what the police told them. If they did, I think we'd have a lot
of speeders. Man, I love it.
You never used to drive through that town 25 miles an hour. Now it's like sometimes it's like a freeway.
Joe, you got a handle on the local. Wait, let's say it again. It's Buonavolonta, right?
Joe Buonavolonta.
All right, Buonavolonta.
Phil in Italian.
Buonavolonta. I love it. Is it gravy or sauce, Joe? Hey, is it gravy or sauce?
Never come to Cranberry.
Joe, gravy or sauce?
Oh, don't put me on the spot, but I'll take gravy.
There you go. There you go. I love it. All right, Joe, good luck, and I hope you win. If you, hey, either way, call back. Let me know what's happening. Let me know what I can do to help in Cranberry.
You got it, Bill. Thank you for everything.
All right, man. You take care. All right, everybody else hang in there. I'll be back. 8:45, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Five.
8:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. Let's jump right back into it. So what are you running for? 1-800-283-101.5. Why should people vote for you? The election is coming up on Tuesday. We'll start with Sam Grammer in Lebanon. What's going on, Sam?
Hey, Bill. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What's happening?
Nothing much. I'm running for Lebanon Township Board of Education. I want it to get my name out specifically because I'm actually a write-in. There was an open third spot that only two or three people have stepped up to put their name in for. And as a dad of three girls, two of which are in the school system, I've got a lot of skin in the game.
So, Sam, let me ask you this. How do you spell your name? Is it G-R-A-M-M-A-R?
So that's the funny part. You know, if you're thinking about Board of Education, I always say grammar for education, but my name is misspelled. It's German. It's G-R-A-M-M-E-R.
G-R-A-M-M-E-R. So elect grammar for good grammar to return to grammar in school. I love it. I love it.
I think I'm going to steal that if you don't mind.
What's that?
I think I'm going to steal that if you don't mind.
Take it. It's all you. Elect grammar for grammar. I love it because it is true, right, Sam? We need to go back into actual education and stop the pronoun propaganda nonsense. That's what we need.
Correct. Yeah, I want to keep the political stuff out of the schools. I mean, specifically, I'm representing kindergarten through eighth grade, so they're very young. They're beautiful kids, honorable and very influenced by the people around them. So I just want to keep things simple. I want them to be smart. I want them to be healthy. I don't want them to be addicted to their technology. I don't want them to be depressed. I just want them to learn so that they can hit high school and be leaders.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Brilliant. I love it. All right. It's time for Lebanon Township to write in Sam Grammer, spelled incorrectly, G-R-A-M-M-E-R. Thank you, Sam. Good luck to you, man.
Bill, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I got a company my daughters and I started, and I want to get you some product as a thank you. Is that okay if I talk to the people offline?
Well, you know, I'd love to. Look, we promote small business, and no need to give me anything. I'd love to come by and do a meet and greet at your place. So I'm going to put you on hold, and producer Kristen will get you in touch with my team. Good?
Thank you very much.
All right, Sam. All right, we're going to put you on hold. Everybody else hang in there. I'll be back. 8:55. Eric Scott with the news next. .9 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. All right, guys, I've got a ton of folks that want to talk. We have an election coming up on Tuesday. This is the final weekend push. We've got today, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, four working days until Election Day. I'm going to give you like 40 seconds. Tell me what you're running for, why you're running, and where voters can find you on the ballot. We're going to start with Noah Fofana in Franklin. What's going on, Noah?
Good morning, dude. How are you today? My name is Noah Fofana from Franklin Township. I'm running for council at large with Brian Levine running as mayor and Frank Coons running for council at large. We are the new hope for Franklin Township. I'm appealing to all Republicans in Franklin Township. Please come out and vote to make history again.
I love it. Noah Fofana. What column are you in, Noah?
Column two. Tomorrow, you can come tomorrow. We have a program at the Gazebo 505, the monthly. Come and cast your vote so that on Tuesday you don't have to wait online. Come tomorrow and today. Phone stations are open from 7 to 8 p.m. Come
All right.
And cast your vote.
Noah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill Spade.
You got it, Noah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Column two, Noah Fofana running council at large in Franklin. Let's go to Craig in Haddonfield. What's going on, Craig? Morning.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
I'm calling for the Hamilton Republican City Council candidates, Joe Caruso, Eric Atkinson, and Anthony Marino. They're column A. They're great conservative Hamilton guys, and they really just want to help the town. They have a lot of good ideas about getting more police in, road repairs, everything the town needs, they're hoping to get.
This is Hamilton in Atlantic County.
Yes, Atlantic County, Hamilton.
Love it. Now, are you from there? Are you work in Haddonfield?
I'm in Haddonfield, yes. But Anthony is a friend of mine.
Got it.
Volunteering, something I've never done, volunteering calls for
yeah.
him, and it's been eye-opening. So,
what do you find? You know, that's interesting, Craig, because we're there's so much more interaction I'm finding this year, especially for local candidates. This is the first year we've seen where it's truly bottom-up instead of top-down. What are you hearing from people when you talk to them?
Every concern that the three of them have are exactly
yeah.
the concerns that every citizen I've spoken with have. The same exact things. You know, public safety, transparency in government. They want people they can trust in government. I had no idea it was that simple and that basic, but that's what it is.
Yeah, people have no confidence in their government.
They want to have somebody they trust. That's what.
What about parental rights? You hearing that?
I have, but they're not, you know, they're not on the school boards. They're literally city council. That's who they are.
Right. No, I understand that. But, I mean, are you hearing it from people? Because we've knocked on thousands Absolutely. Of doors, and it is the number one thing that I hear. They're like, man, when did parents have to take a backseat to government?
Hamilton was a very, very conservative town, and now it's a little bit different. But still great family values there. And these people, it's Joe Caruso, Eric Atkinson and Anthony Marino, these people are salt of the earth.
I love
great
it.
Guys.
Chuck, I love it. Thank I appreciate you. That. And tell the
you
guys.
Are, you are great. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks, Craig. Appreciate you saying that. Tell the guys that if they are successful, definitely get in touch because I want to work with them over the next year as to the kind of policies that we're rolling out and hopefully can be helpful to their governing.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your help.
You got it.
They appreciate it, too.
Awesome. Take care, Craig. Thank you. All right, let's go to John in Pennington. What's going on, John?
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Bill, I'm here to endorse my two candidates, Jen DiDonato and Dan Hanley. They're at work now, but they ran last year. We were doing pretty well, but the mail-in ballots came in, there was way too many for us to overcome. You know, last year we had 61% of Hopewell Towns voted. They never had 61%.
Right.
The highest it ever was 37%. And we found a lot of mail-ins that just weren't right. We took them to the prosecutor's office, got them cleaned up some. But hopefully this year we can get over because development is overtaking the Hopewell Township, and we need to get a voice in there.
John, let me ask you this. Are they addressing the fact that Hopewell is a sanctuary city?
Now, Hopewell Borough is not Hopewell Township.
Okay, the borough is sanctuary. Got it.
Yeah,
so what column are they in, John?
Well, Republican column. I don't know whatever column that is. I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it yet.
All right, give their names again, because I want people to know to look for them and vote for them on Tuesday or early. You'll vote tomorrow.
Yeah, you can vote tomorrow. You can vote at the Pennington Firehouse. Jen DiDonato and Dan Hanley. They ran last year, and the township has been a run by Democrats for the past 5 years. I was up there by myself with four of them. And of course, yeah, super majority. They just did whatever they wanted. That's why we got this overdevelopment. So and then we got the Chinese operation there, Biogene, that research place that and right in our town is bought the research, Richard Myers Squibb and
yep.
Farm. They bought that.
And John, you got to wonder what's going on behind those walls, right?
Exactly, Bill. So, nobody goes to meetings. There's no
nope.
newspaper anymore.
No.
It's the one that's run by the Democrats.
Yeah.
And so nobody knows what goes on. You know, goes to meetings, the four Republican Democrats, three Republican Republicans.
Yeah.
Myself, Harvey Lester, and Jim Byrd. We try to keep there, but it's three of us, and nobody else goes to the meetings.
Well, this is the year to change it because people are talking about it. They know that it's all about grassroots, getting back to basics, having a government that works for the people. And, you know, this whole Chinese thing is a enormous issue that, you know, Ed Durr has taken this up at the state level, as has Doug Steinhardt in North Jersey. And it's something that we need to see. We need to have a lot more questions raised by any company that has connections to the Chinese government. And, you know, my take on it is any Chinese government investment is not welcome in New Jersey. I mean, this is a corrupt, you know, communist regime that should have no place on American soil.
Exactly, exactly. And they just let them in with open arms.
Of course. Of course, they're complicit. Absolutely. Look, Biden is a Chinese asset, let's face it. So you've had this has trickled down all throughout the country where you've got, now we've got governors fighting back and saying, hey, you saw, I don't know if you saw what Sarah Huckabee Sanders did in Arkansas. They actually went back and said, no, we're taking that property back. We're not having a, yeah, that was huge. We're going to have that in New Jersey, too. John, always good to talk to you. John Hart Pennington, he's the Hopewell Township GOP chair. Vote the Republican column locally because we need to change the state. And it's got to happen from the ground up. 916, fast traffic, instant weather next. 922 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Let's jump right back in. What are you running for? Why are you running? What do you want to accomplish and how do voters find you? Let's start with Mary Ann in Watchung. What's going on, Mary Ann? How are you?
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks. Great.
So I live in Watchung, and we have two candidates running, Banu and Fatima, and Gail Tafaro as well, and they are running to protect parental rights. I was not paying attention to our Board of Ed, and when they had passed that 5756,
yeah.
I just learned about that recently. And
is that crazy? Marianne, it's crazy, right?
Parents have the right. Yeah, the parents have the right to help their child. If they need the assistance of the school, by all means. But I don't think that the teachers should educate, parents should parent. That's my opinion.
I love that. And Marianne, 5756 is a department policy from the DOE, which says that the school may not tell the parents if the kid decides, hey, you know what? Today, I'm not a boy. I'm a girl today. It really is complete insanity. But it's why we're going to see a turnout at the local levels. Marianne, give your candidate names again.
Okay, but just so you know, that 5756 is not a mandate. It's a guidance. And that's a lawsuit a couple weeks ago.
Marianne, I know. We heard the government backpedal after they went to court and said that telling parents would be a violation even if the kid was 5 years old. They then backpedaled because of the folks in Hanover that went after them in court, and they had to admit it was always a guideline. But they're liars. They acted like it was a mandate, and they scared the crap out of school districts up and down the state. But now that we know it's not a mandate, most districts should eliminate this egregious assault on parents.
Thank you so much for giving attention to this. I really appreciate it. So the candidates are Banu and Fatima and Gail Tafaro. That would be wonderful. They're pro-parent rights.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Marianne.
Have a great day. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Marianne. Appreciate that. You take care. Let's go to Brian Levine. Former Mayor Brian Levine, 11-year successful mayor in Franklin Township, Somerset County, one of the great mayors in our state, certainly in Somerset County, running again to get back in the game. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot. An honor to speak to you once more.
It was great to see you the other day, Brian. I think the voters would be smart to put you back in office. I mean, what happened? You leave and the place goes to hell.
Yeah, when I left as mayor, we had a great surplus, one of the best around. Finances were stable. Business was where business was supposed to be. And since then, the surplus has been squandered. And the police had to be taken over by the county because of mismanagement. And people are complaining about trucks rumbling past them all hours of the night. So it just goes back, as you might say, to common sense government.
Yeah.
Just do what's right. And finances, like we all do in our homes, just bring the money in and don't spend more than you bring in.
Isn't that incredible? Let me ask you, Brian, what are you finding as you talk to people? Are they? It seemed like when we talked to a few people, everybody remembers when you were mayor.
Yeah, and it was great having you around. People loved seeing you. You're walking, knocking on doors. Just like
thanks.
The regular guy thanks. That you are.
Yeah, I believe in retail politics, and I think that all of us, I've said this to people, they're like, why are you working so hard? What are you doing 5 events a day? I'm like, look, it doesn't do any good to have the largest audience in the state if you can't go and actually meet people one-on-one. You don't want to be separated from real people because the people make decisions that are personal for them, and I think we owe it to them. So I appreciate you taking the time to not just run advertising, but actually go out and shake everybody's hand. It means something.
And it's great. First, I love to do it. That's the selfish part of me. But the second part is you really get to hear what's on people's minds. Yeah, you can have a big room and send mailers.
Yeah.
But really speaking to someone and seeing what's on his or her mind is amazing. And reminding them that, especially in my town, we're outnumbered. So their vote really does count. It could, even on the higher levels this year, could come down to a couple dozen votes. So getting out and actually voting is actually going to make a real difference this year.
Yep, no doubt. Brian Levine for mayor in Franklin Township, Somerset County. Brian, always good to talk to you, and I hope we are congratulating you on your victory at 8:05 Tuesday night.
Thank you so much.
You take care. We'll talk soon. All right, everybody else hang in there. I'll be back 9:27. Eric Scott with your news next. 9:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. All right, guys, let's try to wrap up this conversation about the election on Tuesday. I'll get to as many of you as I can. We're going to start with Matt in Toms River. What's going on, Matt? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you for everything that you do.
Thanks. You got it. We're just getting started, Matt.
Thank God. Somebody has a brain, you know.
So what do you think? What do you want to say?
So my question is that I'm not running, but what are your thoughts on District 32, which is considered Berkeley for the Republican candidates?
So district, what do you mean district? Is that the legislative district?
It's like Carmen Amato.
Oh, Jr. Are you kidding? I am a huge fan of Carmen Amato. Let me tell you something. A couple of things. First of all, in Toms River, let's start local and move up. In Toms River, you've got Toms River Councilman Dan Roderick, who unseated the incumbent Republican Mayor Mo Hill. He is now running for mayor. So I think on one side, you got a good opportunity to have a conservative mayor elected in Toms River in Dan Roderick. That's number one. Number two, Carmen Amato is a friend of mine. Let me tell you something about Carmen Amato. He is the mayor of Berkeley Township. Now, not only has he left Berkeley Township in great shape, but he was smart enough to get to a point where he could leave it in great hands. And our friend John Bacchione is running for mayor and will be a great mayor in Berkeley Township. And that's in part thanks to John, who's a good government guy and gets it, and Carmen, who understands the value of local leadership. Now, Carmen is running for the state Senate. He is going to be an outstanding state senator. Matt, Carmen Amato was one of the only Republicans, and he was certainly the first, to call me after I announced I was going to go walk with the striking nurses at Robert Wood Johnson. And he's like, hey, I'll do it. I'll support them. I'm willing to step up and put my name on that. That took guts because your typical politician is so afraid of standing up to big corporate because they're thinking, well, I might get a check from them. I don't want to upset the big corporate board. No, he understood the plight of working people and stood shoulder to shoulder with these nurses, and I respect him for it. Now, you've also got Brian Rumpf. Brian Rumpf is a great member of the assembly. He is a nice guy. He is a thoughtful guy, and he's somebody who understands community service and involvement. And then you got Greg Meyer. Now, Greg Meyer is the mayor right now of Stafford Township. Let me tell you something about Greg Meyer. He was one of the most vocal voices against the windmills. And Greg hosted an event that I spoke at. My friend Paul Kenitra from Point Pleasant, he spoke at it. And Greg has been an aggressive campaigner, a thoughtful guy. And again, another one. You know, Matt, when I say normal, like these three guys, they're normal. They've got families. Yeah. They come to all the events. They knock on doors. They're not in the back room cabal plotting and planning at the expense of the voters. They're subject to the will of the voters, and it's a very different attitude. So I am proud to endorse them, support them. I've knocked on doors with them. I actually just saw them last night at the rally in Barnegat. So anyway, that's my recommendation.
All right, thank you, sir.
You got it, man.
Good talking to you.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks for the compliment. Appreciate that. Let's go to Chuck in Bricktown. What's going on, Chuck?
How you doing today, Bill?
Good, man. I'm doing great. Bricktown. You know, let me tell you something. You know, John Catalano's running for mayor of Brick.
I'm from Manchester, though.
Oh, you're in Manchester.
I'm just working in Brick. I'm from Manchester. I'm just calling to see who stood out there.
Well, I mean, Rob Arace is your mayor. And let me tell you something. Rob Arace won after it had to go to a second ballot. They had a recount. I mean, Rob Arace is a great mayor. So I don't know off the top of my head what council seats are up. I will have to check that for you because we were heavily involved in the council race last year. They won. The mayor wins with his council running mates. First thing I would do is look at the school board, and anybody that's on the school board candidate list that says anything about kids or parents' rights, you want to give them a vote. But I will, I'll ask Rob to tell me.
Tennessee Foss, Gloria Atkinson, they're all for kids, putting kids first. There's Samuel, there's Dina,
putting kids first,
Manchester better.
If they put that next to their name on the ballot, then they're our guys.
That's what I figured.
Yep.
Vote for Republican, right?
Let me tell you this, Chuck. I am a Republican, as you know. And over the years, I've been critical of Republicans because I want them to do better. I want them to be more courageous. I want them to be smarter. Now, having said that, as much as I battle them, I believe, and to the Republicans out there who I beat up, you're welcome because I've made you better candidates by challenging you. But I am telling you this year, all the folks that I have battled with, I am encouraging a straight Republican vote. Even guys like John Bramnick, who he and I disagree on half the issues, better to have a more liberal Republican in a Republican majority than have a Democrat that will prevent the Republican majority. So for me and my vote this year, straight Republican.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. It's time, Chuck. It's time to you know, put our foot on the gas and say, if you're a Republican, if you're going to stand with us, because let me tell you what's happening, Chuck. The old guard Republicans, the guys like Bob Hugin who currently run the party, their time is up. Their strategy has failed. They failed in 21 so miserably that they've lost their grip. They had 21 counties in lockstep. Now we're working with 9 counties out of the 21, and that number's only going to grow because people are ready for change. They're ready for common sense. Honestly, they're ready for leadership and not backroom politics, and that's what I'm providing, and our group now is out raising these guys. We're out recruiting them. We are out working them. We've got 93 candidates on our endorsement list just for this year alone. I got 143,000 members. So I'm saying now that we've gotten to this size and strength, vote Republican because those Republicans are going to start to come our way and we're going to move forward. And in 23, we're going to elect hopefully one or both houses in a majority. And if we fall short, that's okay because we've got 25 where we're going to get that majority and elect a new governor. It's time to vote straight Republican and turn the state around. Thanks, Chuck. Have a good one. All right, Joyce, I'll get to you first on the other side. 9:45, fast driving instant weather next. 9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. We're going to go to Joyce Ship Freeman in Edison, running for council. Hi, Joyce. How are you? You got 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. I'm Joyce Ship Freeman, a councilwoman. I'm running as an independent. I'm very disappointed with the media because the media, whoever is the party that's in charge, they control the media. So they kind of make you look crazy when you're in the media. They do not give you the proper representation. They cut you short. They make you look like you're really not concerned about the people. But I know in Edison, because I didn't vote for a whole bunch of spending, I'm being penalized for not voting for millions and millions of dollars to put us in debt. And we have a big, big water problem. And our water problem is so huge that on top of the debt that we're going to be incurring for the next 15 years, this water problem is over $200, $300 million.
Joyce, are you a current member of council?
Yes, I'm a current.
All right, so you are running for re-election. Joyce Ship Freeman. Listen, Joyce, I got to go. I'm out of time, but thank you for calling. You'll always get a fair shake with me. You know that. There's no games we play here. This is about people. There's an election coming up on Tuesday. 2 working days till Monday. Have a great, great weekend.